I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How are you now? Yeah, we're recording. Congratulations. How are you now? It's James Mellon. Yeah, we are live. Congratulations. And you're listening to the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast, telling you everything you need to know about investments and a lot of stuff that you don't need to know about investments too. As mentioned, I am James Whelan. We are sponsored proudly by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange, and I am broadcasting from the Castlereagh office. I'm going to take my sunglasses off, but it is an absolute cranking day here in Sydney. I am joined. All advice is general in nature. No advice. There's no advice in the show. If it sounds like advice, it's nothing.
It's general.
Turn it off. Go somewhere. It's general. G'day, ASIC. How are you going? Why won't you answer my calls? I want to get you on the show. Mark Well, I'm joined by Heath Moss of HLM Investments, all the way from South Australia. Heath, how are you now?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thanks, mate. You're looking great.
You're looking good there.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Thank you. Yeah, I've been on a bit of a fitness, healthy eating regime.
Who is this skinny son of a bitch that I'm talking to?
Yeah, lost a bit of weight. Lost 5 kilos over the last 5-6 weeks. So getting there. Got a long way to go, but I'm trying to get a little bit healthier. There's a bit of heart disease in the family. So I thought, over 40 now, so I've got to start looking after myself a little bit more for myself and my kids and family and stuff. So, yeah, I'm doing really, really well, feeling very energetic, clothes are fitting better, et cetera, et cetera. So fantastic. And had a great Father's Day. What did you get up for Father's Day? What did you get up to?
Mate, we went on a grand tour. My wife and I, the cheese, as I call her, we got married on September the 2nd, 2006. So that was the anniversary. That was up at a place called Lilienfels, up at the Blue Mountains in Lura, Katoomba, sort of that area. And we go back sometimes, but because it was the 2nd of September, fell on a Saturday, she'd booked a nice Airbnb up there for one night, a couple of bedrooms. We had the youngest with us. The oldest had a big dance thing going on the Sunday because she's very advanced dance. She's a scholarship dance student. And we, the cheese, myself, and the skipping champion went up to the mountains. We're back to the scene of the crime. Bottle of wine in the shadow of the Carrington Hotel, which is a really nice place up at Katoomba. Just this ye olde 1840s sort of stuff that they've got going on up there. They've really kept the tradition well. And then the next day, what is the name of the place called? The Bunker Cafe. Mm-hmm. Beautiful breakfast there for Father's Day. Just an absolute cracking day. Came back down, had lunch with my father-in-law and mother-in-law. They gave me 3 shopping bags full of lemons and grapefruit. They've had an amazing crop. We'll get to the weather later. Mate, just sensational. What did you get up to?
The Royal Adelaide Show's in town, so we spent the day there. Kids going on all the rides, eating all the Dagwood dogs. you know how it is. It was fantastic. Actually, it was a cracking day. 25 degrees, sun was out, slight cool breeze. You couldn't have asked for a better day. I had a ripping day. Got spoiled by the kids with some chocolates and got number one dad stress ball from one of my youngest. He bought it at the Father's Day school. And yeah. I think he spent the rest of his money at the canteen, but that's all right.
That's all right. As long as he gave you the thought, that's fine.
So got that. It was a fantastic day. I hope all the dads out there had a wonderful day as well.
We do sometimes, sometimes get overlooked, sometimes get anyway. Not going into that, but it's good that you're a dad. Thanks for being a dad. I sent g'day, if you're listening to the old man as well, I sent him a message and called him, followed up. I bought him some tickets to Paul McCartney with the last of my dollars that hasn't gone to rent or mortgage. And he was stoked about that. Last chance that he's got to see Sir Paul.
Fantastic. It's going to be a fantastic show.
Oh, mate, I hope it is. I sent him a message. I said, they're not the best tickets, but they're not the worst tickets, but you're there. And he's just like, just being there is fantastic. Love it. Thank you so much. So it was great that we managed to do that. I managed to do that for him, which was fantastic. Mm. Now, look, I've got people texting me. Hello, everyone. If you're texting me, text those questions in. I'll be able to help you out. I spent yesterday at the – now, let's get on to business. So we're going to talk about F-35s. Yep. We're going to talk about oil. We are going to talk about – what have you got on your – I'm checking. I haven't even looked at the notes.
Pretty much the same. Oil, yields. Weak US yields. Economy. Although mixed US economy. You got some stronger ISM services PMI data out last night, which said markets the opposite way.
Just hit us. The market
wrap
with Heath Moss.
Beautiful. We saw the S&P 500 down about 1% last night. ISM services PMI came out a bit stronger at 54.5, up 1.5, beat expectations. Again,
services is the biggest contributor to the US economy as well. So that's good news. Good news is bad news in this particular case. Sorry, go on.
But, yeah, that obviously stoked fears for rate hikes again. So yields are on the march again. They did come off the last couple of weeks, but they're on the march again, close to touching those highs we saw again a few weeks ago. US dollar is really, really strong at the moment, and that's going to provide quite a bit of a earnings headwind in Q3 and Q4. I think we're going to start seeing some earnings downgrades on the back of that, because we saw in Q2, towards the end of Q2, that the US dollar had weakened and come back down. The Dixie was, I think, below 100 or so, something like that. But now it's rallying again, especially against the likes of the yen. So those companies, and a lot of those companies, especially the big tech guys, you know, Apple's, Microsoft's, etc., are very international, very global. So those stronger US dollar is going to negatively impact them. And we saw Microsoft in June downgrade earnings for their Q2 on the back of that. So I think we're going to see similar there, and that's going to push earnings growth down. We are expecting a slight bit of growth in earnings for Q3 in the US, a 0.5% growth, which would be the first lot of growth we've seen in US since Q3 last year. But if these, I think that's going to turn negative, and Q4 revisions will be pushed down, because that's quite strong at the moment. I think it's plus 8% expected in Q4. So we saw that. What else do we see? We saw jobs data beat last Friday night. But having said that, expectations have been lowered dramatically on jobs data. I think we started the year at expectations of plus 320,000 ads for a month. We're down at around 170. So, you know, those low hurdles, similar story to earnings. There, those low hurdles to jump over. Apart from that, that's it for the US. GDP.
Yeah, go with Australia GDP. We've also got Governor Lowe's last speech, I think, is on at some stage today. It could be right now.
Thanks,
Phil, for everything you've done for us, buddy. I hope you don't trip over on your way out. Jackass.
I think he's a little bit hard done by, but that's another story. I think
you've been a fanatic for too long, mate. And look, you're gonna have to get behind the Michelle Bullock now as the new governor. Anyway,
I think she's got a lot easier job. But Q2 GDP for Australia came in as expected at 0.4. But year on year was stronger at 2.1. And that was on the back of Q1 GDP being revised upwards. 0.4 from 0.2. So that was some good news there. But overall, the underlying mechanics of GDP in Australia are softening quite quickly. Consumer spending is coming off hard. Inventories are off. It's really being propped up by a bit of public spending still now. But actually, one interesting tidbit I saw, I think it was the end of last week or the start of this week, in terms of household deposits at the banking institutions. Yeah. They're up 1.4% in July, which was the largest lift in 12 months. They're up 7% on the year.
Sorry, say that again. They're up what?
So 1.4% for July, which was the largest lift in 12 months.
This is savings at banks.
Savings at banks, household deposits at banks.
Yep.
And on year, they're up 7%. So the Australian consumer, the Australian household is still doing quite well.
Are you sure that's not just boomers collecting rent and that interest rates being at 4%, it's just getting bigger?
It could be part of that, but it could also be a signal that Australians are saving instead of spending in the economy as well.
You bet your ass we are.
Tuck that money away.
It's in the offset. If you find a $5 note, chuck it in the offset. We still have not seen the full flow on effect of the hikes. I spent a whole day that was the Aussie wrap, mate. Sorry, is that?
That's me. I thought it was quite interesting, considering the US is going the opposite. Household deposits are going backwards, whereas here in Australia they're still moving ahead. So some of that is the boomers and retirees with the getting +4 or +5% in their accounts now. But some of it is, I think, restricted spending. Saving more instead of going out for dinner on a Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah, there is that too. We're very much those people. I think my wife cooked bolognese on Friday, and I don't think we have actually cooked a Friday meal. Not that she doesn't. She just did it because she got home and just wanted to cook. So it was, we don't have those sorts of gender assigned roles and responsibilities. The only gender assigned role is that she actually physically has to have the babies. Then we sort of just pick it up.
That's a bit rough, mate. I can't believe you're making her do that.
Oh, Jermaine Greer would be rolling in a grave. I know that she's a big listener as well. That was a joke, Jermaine. I love your work, always have. So what are we talking about? Oh, yeah, I spent all day at the Inside Network. The Inside Network. They do a good conference. It was an entire day talking about defensives, bonds, credit. Absolutely just bleeding from my ears listening to it all day yesterday. If anyone wants to know anything, then go ahead and do it. But there's some amazing things that are in the line of sort of higher tier credit and higher tier loans. Invesco have a really good setup there. Send me a note if you want to know anything about that Invesco stuff, and I can help you out with that. I'm good mates with the guy who's head of the BDM stuff here in New South Wales. But it was a really good session that they do and they finish it off with a pitch. They do sort of an open outcry. The BDMs do this big pitch for their funds, why their funds win, and you've got to sort of allocate these little gold coins. It's a lot of fun. It's a really good chance to learn. I like the fact that I've now structured, if we could talk a bit of shop, a bit of homework, I like the fact that I've now structured my business to be, I can take a day. I don't have to be sitting there watching it. I don't have to be on the screens. I can actually take a day and go, I'm going to go and learn more about this particular part of the market and get these expert views from, top-level guys, top-level fund managers. That some of them travel out from the States, some of them come from everywhere to come over here and speak. And I actually can do that. And I don't have to be like, oh my God, gold has moved a bit. I need to close the put spread or something like that I've got. It's just like, no, you buy and hold the market. India's fine. Oil is fine. We're going to get to that in a sec. Aussies are fine. Thank you very much. China for what appears to be a resurgence there as well. And you can just go and sit and learn. The last speaker was Professor Bill Mitchell, I think it was, who's one of the co-fathers. I forgot his name. It's gone. One of the co-father of MMT. Remember MMT? Okay. You're lost at about modern monetary theory. The original iteration of this podcast as the PIP show was actually we tried to get modern monetary theory people on during COVID. They've gone really quiet all of a sudden, haven't they, for some reason? Interest rates. Anyway,
we stopped printing.
Yeah, we stopped printing. He was scathing about central banks and the way that they've handled it, especially our own. And so he's a professor with the University of New South Wales or Sydney, head of economics, one of those things. Anyway, extraordinarily intelligent. He started off just going very accusatory. You people are part of the reason why, just thinking, we're all advisors and fund managers and you people are why this is into it. But it's our fault because we're the ones that have advised the government. And so we're all in this together. So it actually became quite an interesting communication, pretty responsive crowd. But he said, we should be writing to the new governor, Michelle Bullock, telling her that she's a disgrace for getting behind the idea that we're trying to sack, effectively we have to have 140,000 people need to be unemployed to get through what they're doing. He just went into this whole thing of just like they should have just done it like Japan, paid companies to not pass on inflationary prices to people and just let it sort itself out. And it was just like, he made a really good point. It was worth sitting there and just listening and just going, If you get a chance to go to this thing, listen to what he's got to say. If you do get a chance, it's very interesting. I asked the last question. I said, mate, because it was the end of the day, end of a very long day. Professor, thanks for dropping in. Always an honour to hear someone of your esteem. You know, I always do this sort of thing where I talk people up, give them a chance to be feel good about themselves. And I said, mate, we've heard an entire day of people who have been slamming the RBA and slamming the central banks and at least reasoning that the reason why we're here with rates as they are on the precipice of potentially a recession in a fair chunk of the world. What structure would you prefer for our central bank? Mm. And he said, and he basically just sort of mapped out this beautiful plan. It wasn't staged or anything. He just had this beautiful plan for government policy as government policy, interest rates a set in the, or anyway, whatever it was. But in the end, it was effectively the Reserve Bank is just an administrator. They're not guiding anything. They're not setting any stuff like that. It's just, they're just an administrator, because he was just like this whole facade that we're going with, that the fact that the RBA is an independent body. They're not an independent body. You said the entire room is just going, yeah, thank you. Like no reasonable person thinks that the RBA is an independent body. So why not just go, you know what? Okay, then just administer, if it's government policy, let the government make the policy. We're going to elect them based on where they want their rate direction to go. Sometimes it's going to be higher, sometimes it's going to be lower. I mean, it's to have an independent, anyway, that was it. His answer was fantastic, just that they should be an administrator. Big round of applause at the end of it, which is very interesting about where the fund management community thinks it's going to be.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. Anyway, that was cool. Sorry. Now, oil. Speaking of oil.
Yes. Oil. Do you want to chat up? Do you want some chat up for us?
Do you want to put a chat up? Am I driving the bus here?
Yeah, you've got to authorize me, Matt. You've got the buttons to push.
Oh, man. That is, for anyone listening at home or in their car, hello. But we're looking at is that light sweet crude? What do we got here?
That's WTI.
Okay, so this is the West Texas Intermediate.
The rolling contract. Massive breakout there, trading well above the 20-50 moving average. We haven't been this high since, I think, November last year.
Nice.
Yeah, around about November last year is when we were around this level. So, and it's all on the back of Saudi Arabia and Russia extending their cuts out to October. Moving forward, there's also large inventory drawdowns. Inventories drawdowns in the US.
They're expecting a big draw tonight, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
It happened last night. I think
it was last night.
It was a big beat. Yeah, big beat. We have now crossed over. We believe we've crossed over pre-pandemic demand highs in terms of oil again.
Yep.
And we're in about 3 million barrels per day deficit in terms of supply. So, and then on top of that, we could have China maybe with the drip feed of stimulus and that slowly getting back into there. Obviously, the world's largest importer of oil coming back online more rigorously. And we've had India, they reported their consumption data yesterday, up 6.5% on the year for August in terms of oil demand. So all things are pointing higher for oil at this stage, which, you know, would be slightly inflationary. But, I mean, we've seen periods in a time such as like 2011 to 2014 where oil was trading around $120 a barrel quite irregularly, where inflation didn't move. So if other forces are pushing down enough, then, you know, oil being at where it is won't move the needle too much. But it does impact your household budget, obviously, because everyone, I mean, I saw petrol at $2.20 a litre yesterday here in Adelaide. It's gonna hurt.
It's hurting us, man. Like, even just the fuel just to get up. I was thinking about, you know, filling up the tank on the MG to get up the mountain on the weekend. It's just like, that's a lot of money that I would not be spending at the bar, or not be spending on the hotel room, or not be spending on my mortgage or rent that I've got to pay both of those things this month. It's tough.
So I think I mean, they say that petrol prices around current levels act as another rate increase in itself in terms of its effectiveness. So that will further weaken the Australian and global consumer, because obviously this is a global thing. No one is exempt from it. So yeah.
No.
But now, so that's oil, mate.
Remember what I said last week? We're talking about China and saying that if there's any hint of stimulus on China, oil pops, which then brings inflation back up, which puts yields back up. And that it has proceeded as I have foreseen it. Sometimes a blind squirrel finds the acorn, mate. So the can you speak of India? And I'm just going to do a little bit of a segue here before you do. Can you pull up that ETF NDIA that's run by Global X ETFs?
Sure.
That's a good one. There we go. Oh my goodness! So my clients along that. Okay, and this is India. This is just the Nifty 50 in India. Anyone who's listening. Just continues to go bottom left to top right. The way that a good chart should behave looks like it's just going to keep going there. I continue to say that India has got, it's a growing middle class. The middle class has these systematic investment plans, like our super fund sort of works. A chunk of your money, a chunk of your pay goes in every month, goes into managed funds, mutual funds over in India, mostly mutual funds. Their ETFs are just growing as well. If you want access, here's the thing, pull that off. And I'm going to pull this up. If you want access to Indian mutual funds, then you need to go to here. Where is it? Hang on. I've just lost it. Yep, there it is. So you need to go to, here we go. Is everyone just going to see? There you go.
Yep.
Did I really just post that? Yeah, I did. Okay. Anyway, it's good. You need to. We might get that out. So this is the mutual funds exchange. This is the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange platform, as you're seeing it here, and you can go and pick out. So here's the watch list of Indian mutual funds. We've got Alan Gray. You got local stuff here as well. Look at this. The ICICI Prudential Infrastructure Fund. I can click on that to view the full info for this managed fund, mutual fund over in India. Look at that. It's gone beautifully in that direction. It tells you all the details. It's there. If you want to invest, you just hit the invest button. You deposit the money. You can then invest in an Indian mutual fund, which usually you would not be able to do because it's a locked market and you can't just access Indian mutual funds or access any sort of thing over there. But that's what happens. So amfex.com is the best way to be able to get a one-for-one, unleveraged, fully hedged, access to the Indian market and to any market as well, and off you go. So go and check it out today if you want that sort of direct access to specific mutual funds anywhere in the world. That's built a hell of a product. Get in there. The people who are in there love it, and the people who are doing it use it, and they use it well and they love it too. So that's that. So that's the spray. That's the plug. Right. What's next?
Beautiful.
F-35s. What else is there?
F-35s. You want to talk jets?
Yeah, Lockheed Martin overnight said cut its full year delivery forecast for F-35 jets as delays at supplier L3Harris Technologies held up development of an upgraded version of the aircraft. Immediately, my mind that has been released of the burden of worrying day to day on individual portfolio nonsense, immediately I just go, well, that means that the Ukraine war is going to get this whole extra splurge of investment put into it. The US, this is going to sound very cynical, but it's very true, that the US military industrial complex will do whatever it can to make sure that those companies continue to do well. And if there's a slight downgrade in the amount of jets that one of their biggest companies is going to be producing or selling, they need to find that money somewhere else. So a huge taxpayer investment coming for Ukraine. And then I heard the Morgan Stanley yep. podcast on the way in, saying that, yeah, they were expecting that from the new sitting of Congress, which has just come back from the summer recess. And, yeah, so that's going to happen, which is then probably going to mean that oil will continue going up, gas will continue to go up as we see that. And you can sort of just connect all those things together about how that's going to happen there too. So, yeah, expect more money from the US into this war in Ukraine. Play that as you will. If that means that, what is that going to do to bond yields if they continue to, if they need to raise more money to be able to do this sort of thing? More bond sales, more bonds, more money. Yeah. Anyway, work that through however you will. I'm not going to give you the specifics on that one, but yeah, expect there to be better things. So find a good point to be able to buy those. If you want to play the ESG game, go ahead and play the ESG game. If you don't, if you're actually interested in making money in any particular way that you know how, then go ahead and pick up the defense companies anytime they have a bit of a dip. I think there's no reason why the US won't want to perpetuate a war in Ukraine. And then cut to a few years down the track when they eventually rebrand Zelensky as being a bad guy, and then they can just move in and take over the whole country themselves. Hello to all of my American friends, and I look forward to the NFL season starting tomorrow. Go ahead.
Beautiful.
That's where I see it going. That's cynical, but it's going to happen. It's a dead set, like looking into the future. I can't do any other way than that. Okay.
Oh, it's their playbook. We've seen it in the Middle East for so long, other places. America.
Yeah,
South America.
All the way back. Have we become that sort of podcast? You were there, man. Anyway.
No. But just quickly, I also saw India were looking to order a heap of F-35s as well.
Correct. India are the world's biggest arms purchaser. And Russia importer, whatever you want to say. They're the biggest arms buyer. Their biggest supplier is the Ruskies. And the US wants that to change, clearly, because it's such a huge market that they can get their guys into. The other way is that there's so many US companies that are starting to do business in India, which is the China plus one strategy. So we need to have a backup to China in case one day something goes wrong. We can't have all of our phones being made in this one place. We need to have a backup. And so that's why you've got Amazon, Google, Apple. Foxconn, Apple, you know, everyone making moves into there. But they would prefer it if they were US choppers flying overhead as opposed to Russian ones. If they had to defend, because remember that the US aren't necessarily defending their people, they're defending their companies. This has turned into one of those podcasts, hasn't it? Okay, here we go.
Political.
Yeah, well, we're in now.
What do we got?
What have we got for the footy ball, mate? Oh my god, it is a cacophony of footballing magic this weekend. We've got NFL tomorrow, AFL finals start tonight, NRL finals start tomorrow, the World Cup starts tonight. Tomorrow?
Rugby World Cup, yep.
Rugby World Cup starts tonight. France is the favourites against the New Zealanders, which is fantastic. Hello, Chris Robinson. If you're listening, it's good to talk always, mate. I don't even know where to start, mate. It's every single sport that I love is just being jammed right at us. So there's no jokes that I can make. They're not going to get me kicked off the radio. Go on. What do you got?
What do we got? AFL final starting this week. I have gone the Lions at the line versus Port Adelaide at the Gabba, -14.5. So I think they're going to win by, say, 4 or 5 goals, I think, up there. They're a different beast at the Gabba. They're a fantastic team, as well as Port are playing. I don't think they'll be able to get close enough to the Lions. So I think the Lions at -14.5, paying $1.90, $1.90.
So the Lions just to thrash it, beat the spread, as they say.
Yep, beat the spread.
Excellent work with me, mate. I'll tell you what, we've got a couple of games that are coming up. I like the Storm to beat the Broncos. I think that the Broncos, they've spent all their dollars, they're done. I like they're giving the Panthers... Are they really giving the Panthers that line? That can't be right. Hang on, let me just double check this one before I charge in. So on the NRL that's coming up, I'm going to go to my little app that's going to tell me that I only keep here. I actually don't gamble myself anymore, except in fives and tens. Well, that can't be right. Yeah, it is. Panthers -12.5. That can't be right at all.
That's a big spread.
That's huge there against the Warriors Interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting indeed. Now, that's Saturday afternoon on the 9th. You know what? I really like the Warriors with 12.5 there. I'm gonna go against that. I was gonna go Panthers to win by a bit, but I'm just like, you know what? 12.5 for the Warriors, game one of the finals. It's yep. in the afternoon. It's not at night. Nighttime at Penrith is an absolute cauldron. But because it's just in the mm-hmm. afternoon and the Warriors are okay and they're conditioned for that sort of stuff. Yeah, 12.5. I'll take the Warriors with the start there. So give them the points. Let's rock and roll, and you can make yourself a tidy little packet there. Don't forget to thank me when you take the wife out to dinner on my ticket. Heath, that's about all the time that we have, mate. Are we going to talk about anything else?
That's a wrap. Yep. I've got nothing else on the agenda.
All right, mate. Well, on that note, thank you very much to the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange for all of your assistance on this one. My name is James Whelan, VFS Group Investment Manager. I am joined. Thank you very much, Heath Moss, as well, for joining us.
No worries. It's a pleasure.
All right. Mark well, everyone. Have yourself a good weekend, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
See you later.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.